Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. When a church member openly sins, I mean violates the Word of God, how does your church biblically handle it? Do they confront the person and openly reprimand the person according to Scripture? Are they allowed to remain in their position if they have one? There was someone like that in the church, in 3 John, and his name was Diotrephes. Let's see how the Lord handled that through John. Let's listen and learn.
We are preaching, teaching, and studying the third epistle of John. Last Sunday, as you know, we covered verses 4 through 8. In those verses, we learned that God gets no greater joy than when his children, those who know his son Christ as Savior, they walk or they live in the truth. In other words, they live their lives according to what they read in the Word of God. And number two, we saw that the man whose calling and profession is the full-time minister of the Word of God is to be supported financially and materially by the churches in which they minister by preaching and teaching the Word of God, or as the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 9:15 by saying this: in the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. And so in view of this, a pastor or a pastor-preacher, pastor-teacher is not compensated based upon he has the title of pastor, but because he is a faithful teacher and preacher of the Word of God. Number three, we discover when congregations see to it that the man of God whose profession is the Word of God is compensated adequately, that it is an act of faithfulness to God. Four, when a congregation sees to it that the man of God whose profession is the Word of God is compensated adequately, it is an act of the love of God. Number five, when a congregation compensates the man of God whose profession is the Word of God, they should do so in a way that is worthy of God himself. Or it should be just as if they were giving the Lord Christ himself the support. Number six, we saw that the man of God whose calling and profession is the Word of God, he should be compensated in a manner worthy of God because they have went out for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. Seven, the man of God whose calling and profession is the Word of God should be compensated by the church in which they serve because they accept nothing from the Gentiles, or as some translations say, they accept nothing from the pagans. Pagans will not pay the preacher. If they are, he's probably not a preacher worth a whole lot. Amen. And so if the world speaks well of a preacher, there is normally something wrong with the preacher. Amen. And so since they receive nothing from the world, the man of God is to be compensated by those whom he ministers the Word of God. And then eight, we learn that we ought to support the man of God whose profession is the Word of God, so that we may be fellow workers in the truth. And so when you support the man of God who is faithful in preaching and teaching the Word of God, we saw in the Word of God that you will take part in what he does, and you will take part in receiving the crown of glory. You know, the Bible says there's a special reward for faithful pastors, 1 Peter 5:4. It is the crown of glory that fadeth not away. And so if you are fellow workers with him by supporting him, you will partake of his reward. And so I'm quite sure when you stand before the Lord, you're going to want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You're going to want a crown from the Lord. Lord, you're going to want a reward from the Lord. And so this is a way to build up that treasure in heaven, by supporting those who are faithful in the Word of God. And so now we move on to verses 9 and verses 10. And so let me just read verse 9 and verse 10 to you again. John says, "I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either, and he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. Once again, John says, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. Evidently, John had already written to this church before. As to how they were to respond to the man of God, evidently he had written to this local church before as to how they were to support the ministers of the word of God. And this is why John says, I wrote something to the church. However, a man in this church named Diotrephes, a man who loved to be first among everyone, he did not accept what John had to say. It is apparent or clear that Diotrephes, he prevented John's words, words which had come from revelation and inspiration of the Spirit of God. He prohibited these words from God from being taught to this congregation. And he went further and he put people out of the church who dared to follow John's words. He put those out of the church who dared to follow the word of God that had been given by John. He put out of the church those who followed this word of God and supported these preachers and ministers of the word of the Lord. Several things I want us to see in this, and they are as follows. Number one, John names the troublemaker. Amen. Who saw to it that the ministers who were giving this congregation the word of God were not compensated. He names the troublemaker who forbid these preachers of the gospel to come and minister the word of God to this church. And so he names him. He names the troublemaker who was putting people out of the church if they dared to support the man who had been ministering the word of God to them. And his name was Diotrephes. Not only was he named for this congregation to know who he was and what he was doing, but he was named in order that the church from generation to generation, or until Christ catches the church away, would know who this man was. Amen. Because we ought to read and study and preach 3 John until Jesus returns. And not only this, Diotrephes' name is forever recorded in heaven as an evil man who did not know God, based upon his repeated action that he did not believe, and thus he denied the material and financial support of the men of God who had been sent out by John, whose ministry and profession was to minister to God's people the word of God. And I say that because Psalm 119:89 says this, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Amen. Since God's word is forever settled in heaven, and 3 John is part of this forever settled word of God in heaven, Diotrephes' name is forever recorded in heaven as one who opposed those who ministered the word of God by denying them support and also preventing others from supporting these men, and then going so far as to put those out of the church who dared to support the man of God. Now, in spite of this truth that we clearly see, and I hope you really see it, he names him. In spite of this, there are many people today who I truly believe know the Lord, yet they do not know enough of the word of God. So they know the Lord, but they don't know enough of God's word. They know the Lord, but They don't know enough of God's word, and they thus believe. It is wrong to name those who are actively and with premeditation doing evil in the church, and also encouraging others to do the same evil, or they are simply troublemakers who are always the common name mentioned when it comes to church mess. Anytime there's some mess in the church, their name is the common denominator, or they're at the top of the list. Every time when there's some mess in the church, they are number one. So there are many believe we shouldn't name the name. For whatever reason, I don't understand why. Perhaps, I don't know, there's a PhD dissertation for someone. For whatever reason, we tend to protect the perpetrator. I don't know why in the church we protect the wolf. In the church we have compassion on the wolf that is devouring the sheep. So for whatever reason, many protect the perpetrator. Or they believe the perpetrator should be protected, or they empathize with the perpetrator. But when it comes to standing up for those who are doing righteous, folks have little to say, or they are mute. Some may honestly believe I would be wrong if I would have named whoever it was who tried to give me a bucket of toxic catfish. Which the state of Ohio Department of Natural Resources recommends you do not eat. For they are contaminated with polychlorinated biphenyls. And I had to do some research on this, and I had to go back several years and make sure my information was correct. And so, Google can be used for good or bad. So I had to Google this and go back a few years and look at what the state of Ohio said around this time. I was offered this bucket of catfish, which they were not going to tell me where they came from until I asked. And it said, do not eat. Contaminated with PCBs, polychlorinated biphenyls. And I looked it up, and it said it causes cancer, shuts down the immune system, affects the reproductive system in females of childbearing age, stunts growth in children, damages the nervous system, damages the endocrine system, damages your eyesight, damages the liver, elevates blood pressure, will shut your kidneys down, elevates triglycerides in the blood, elevates your bad LDL cholesterol, which leads to heart attacks and strokes. And to top it off, it says it also causes various acute and chronic dermatological or diseases of the skin. Now, I don't know. If a guy offers me that, I have questions whether he loves me. Amen. Amen. In spite of that, there are still people who will say, I know that bucket of poison catfish might have shut Pastor Kendall's kidneys down, but I just don't believe he was right for mentioning so-and-so. For he hurt their feelings, or he has shamed them. And after all, doesn't the Bible say love covers a multitude of faults? We're not talking about faults here, amen. We're talking about deliberate and premeditated evil. We're talking about a pattern. It is possible that some would have went home and if I had mentioned the name in connection with this, and you had a discussion at dinner in which you would say, I still just don't believe Pastor Kendall was right for doing that. Some probably even think I was wrong for bringing up the incident, even though I have not mentioned a name or names. The truth of the matter is, what Diotrephes was doing was evil, and it was insidious. It was an obstacle to the word of God getting out to the people. It was antichrist. For remember, Diotrephes refused support refuse to support and encourage others to not support those who are preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus. In view of this, Diotrephes needed to be called out publicly. For what he was doing was a hindrance to the entire church of Jesus Christ. The entire local church was in danger. And likewise, some people's actions are so insidious that they need to be named because they are a hindrance to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Remember that, you know, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, it is of an eternal consequence. And so when you are prohibiting that, it is a serious thing that you do. You're not just messing with someone's temporary physical being. You really are. But it goes beyond that. It has eternal consequence. So, you know, there are some things some folks do in the church repeatedly. It is a pattern. It is a hindrance. It is insidious. And I say to you, according to this text and others we will read, there comes a time some folks' name needs to be dealt with publicly. The Apostle Paul also called out the names of those whose evil ways made it necessary to do such. So let's read a few. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. First Timothy 1. 18 through 20. Notice the Apostle Paul. He says, "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with all the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight." Verse 19, "keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander," he names them, "whom I have handed over to Satan, so that they will be taught not to blaspheme." Wow. Wow. See, sometimes you got to call them out. And I know y'all, if you are immature in the faith, you will leave it today and say, "I know the Bible says that, but I know it's in the Bible. I just don't know about that." Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:16 through 18. 2 Timothy 2:16 through 18. 2 Timothy 2:16 through 18, "but avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are" who? "Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset faith of some." When you have people who are upsetting people's faith, they need to be dealt with. And they need to be dealt with. And I don't know why we always want to protect the perpetrator. I don't get it. There's a dissertation out there for somebody. Amen. Sister Alma, amen. Amen. I don't know what's going on in folks' head that we protect the wolf. Amen. And we'll let the sheep get devoured. I'm still trying to figure this thing out, that we don't care if the wolf devoured the sheep. We cover the wolf. Poor sheep, throat being ripped out, and well, poor sheep. He was a good sheep. But we'll put a covering over the perpetrator. Let me give you one more, 2 Timothy 4 and 14. Second Timothy 4, 14 through 15. Since I got a cold, I'm going to help y'all have y'all help me read today. Amen. 2 Timothy 4, 14 through 15. Do you all have that?
Yes.
Read those two verses. Begin.
Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously upholds our teaching.
There you go.
Teach on. Wow. Go ahead, Pastor.
Sometimes you got to, sometimes you have to do it. Some of you probably think I would be wrong for telling you the name of the person, the same person who tried to give me a bucket of poison catfish, approached me after we got in this church, after all that we went through to get here, all of the struggles and heartaches, and y'all know how hard it was, amen. It was a strain and sacrifice on all of us. And so after we got in this church, called another meeting with me with their notepad and told me to my face, I no longer have for you as a pastor for leading us out of the Maple Avenue building. I even shared with them that we had to get out of there, brother or sister, or whoever it may be. I shared with them that we had to get out because I said, number one, the roof truss system in that building was disintegrating. And I also shared with them the foundation in that building was slowly but surely pulling that church apart. But they persisted that I was not a good leader for selling that Maple Avenue property and leading us over here. I'm trying to tell them the building paid for. But it didn't make, oh, you just know. Then they went on to share with me that they believed I had taken some of the church's money and squandered it. See, when you come at the man of God like that, you really need to be dealt with. And so I said, well, we call a meeting. He taught trustees. I've never signed a check in this church. Trustees voted to sell that building. But see, when it came to facing public, they didn't want to do that. See, they want to do stuff behind the scenes. But then when they get here, make you think they are super spiritual. See, but the truth of the matter is, I just may be in disobedience to a clear truth or principle in the Word of God by not naming them public and warning all of you that you need to be careful of dealing with this person or persons or whoever they shall be or will be or who are, for they are selfish to the point of being insidious and evil. And in a time in which you really need them, they will abandon you. Especially if you need them, and especially if your need involves a couple of dollars.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Join us tomorrow for the second part of this message. Understanding the Scriptures is a broadcast of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio.